This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield. And people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So be careful now. You are in those exceptional. You're running around with an interesting group of people when you run around and say that you're an exceptional American, right? Very suspicious, you exceptional Americans out there. Anyway, so welcome aboard. Like I said, visit our website, agenda21radio.news or a21r.com. That's a shortcut. newcaliforniastate.com and our NCS51. That's the other shortcut. Actually, we got two websites going on right now. It's actually kind of a masterful thing. We're kind of codependent on the old website from the new one right now. It's interesting to see how that build is working out. But we're working on it. We've got a very professional group of people doing great job for New California. We have a lot of things going on here in the New California world as well, so we're going to be spending some time on it in this hour. And certainly in the next hour, we did our grievance yesterday. I referred to it as the doink grievance against Gavin Newsom. He had a doink moment, and Chris Street, who we might have on in the third hour, just might shake him out of bed to be on the air with us. He made some very salient points last night in our county chairman meetings, and because we had all 56 counties on last night. And it was interesting, the dialogue and the relationship to the budget, of course, which is what we're talking about. There will be no federal bailout for California. That was decided yesterday in Washington, D.C. So if you're thinking that there's going to be a federal bailout for we estimate between $60 to $100 billion is the bailout range for California, depending upon what time of the year. Right now, currently, the state of California needs at least $54 billion to function. They're kind of partially that way because they're borrowing internally from their own accounts and so on. That's kind of a long story. But they're not going to make it past October. That's very clear. That's very abundant. The other part of it is that the president is going to make demands on Governor Newsom to open the schools. And I know everybody thinks that that might be challenging, but I don't think it'll be that big a challenge. The kids need to get back to school, and I know the curriculum and all this other stuff, the indoctrination. That, trust me, when New California starts to unfold and unravel the education system, there will be no more indoctrination in New California. But I just wanted to bring that out to you because this budget thing, we're still monitoring and looking at very, very carefully what the governor is about to do or not to do. It's really kind of out of his hands at this point, and the dynamics are swimmingly. They're swinging definitely towards the New California State movement. Okay, one of the big things that's going on, of course, in New California, and we've been talking to Peggy Hall and other folks about the masking business. And with us right now, a lady I met the other night at the Tea Party meeting, Kimberly, I guess it's Carson Falwell. Is that right, Kimberly? Did I say it right?
Close. Kimberly Carlson Farwell.
Carlson. Okay. Well, I got to change my cell phone because I have it misrepresented on my cell phone, so I'll do that. Carlson Falwell. And tell us what you do. You do some very interesting things, and you sort of ran to the help and assistance of some people up in Nevada County. Nevada County is one of the counties, of course, in New California. A vibrant group of people up there, and Kimberly's lives up there and does some great work. Tell us what you're doing right now.
We started first week of May. A handful of us were trying to figure out what to do to fight back on the COVID shutdown altogether, and the fact that, you know, Newsom has been trying to suspend our constitutional freedoms, which has been wrong from the start, no matter what version of his story of pandemic is. So we started a Facebook page called Free Nevada County, and then we started organizing rallies to speak out loud our opinions, the people who wanted to speak out. Our Board of Supervisors meetings were closed to the public. Public comment was closed. You couldn't call in during the meeting to give your opinions to them. So we started doing rallies on the steps during their meetings and videotaping and publicizing those meetings on our page. People started coming out. Yeah, there's a lot of freedom protectors here that absolutely are appalled and ready to fight against it in every way. So as things have gone on for the last 3 months, and here we are still in a state of oppression and tyranny here, you know, Newsom keeps putting out new orders. We're open. We're open a little bit more. Oh, now we're open a little bit less. Now we're open a little bit more again. Oh, wait, now in the last 2 weeks, it's been churches can be open, but you can't sing. Oh, now it's restaurants. You were open, but now we're closing your indoor dining again. Completely, 100% arbitrary, random guidelines and mandates that he keeps trying to put out. I really think a lot to keep us off balance and frustrated. And I think one of his ultimate goals is to trash our small business economies and our main streets of our beautiful downtown cities of America, or California in his case. At our last rally last week at Board of Supervisors meeting, we had three business owners appear that were restaurant owners to come listen to our rally. And during part of our rally, they stood up of their own volition and made a statement: we're not closing our businesses. We can't do it. We cannot comply. We will be out of business if we close. We can't do it. We have to stay open and defy the governor's orders. So we had been working with and contacting Rick Martin of Constitutional Law Group. We had serendipitously, by the hand of God, been connected to people who are working with him and got his help. He got on a Zoom call with about 15 business owners in the area, not only in Nevada County. There was one or two from your counties, Yuba or Sutter, as well. And he spent 2 hours with us talking us through our constitutional rights and what we can do to stand up and work against this. So business owners have been getting the tools. They've been printing out the documents from his website. They've been posting their rights on pieces of paper on their windows of their restaurants and their businesses. It's not only restaurants, it's majority restaurants right now, but we do also have a gymnastics school that is defying orders and staying open because, again, they have to or they will go out of business altogether. They must make money or they are done. We've gotten that far, and then as far as personally on my end, my team of Free Nevada County and what we call ourselves unofficially as the Freedom Protectors of Nevada County, we've created channels on apps, on an app on our phones, and I have a team of, at least 40 people, maybe more right now, that are on call and on alert so that if government officials, meaning the public health department, ABC, any version of law enforcement, come by these businesses that are staying open to try and shut them down, within 10, 15 minutes, we have people that will appear and help support the restaurant owners as the restaurant owners stand and declare their rights, their constitutional rights, before these government officials and say, no, you cannot close us down.
So what you've done, you've basically put together a rapid response team.
Yes. Yes, we have. Hmm. And our numbers are growing every day as people are hearing about it and wanting to join in and ask, how can we help?
Hang on, Kimberly. We're talking to Kimberly Carlson Falwell about what's going on up in Nevada.
Carlson.
I'll get it. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. I got that right.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
You're by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
15 promo code AGENDA.
Hey There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
All aboard!
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. We're talking to Kimberly. Yeah, I'm going to get this right. Carlson, correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Keep it there. Yeah, Let's keep it there. Perfect.
Carlson, there you go. I put it. It's all correct on my phone now, so I got that all taken care of. I have to use my phone as a visual aid sometimes when I'm doing the radio show. It's very helpful. But it's Farwell is the last name. So anyway, I wanted to say that I'm at your website or at the website Free Nevada County, and of course this is pushback against the masking going on in California, in New Californians in particular. Of course, Nevada County is part of what will become New California, and it's going to happen in very short order, I might add. This is a major pushback area, and Nevada County has always been somewhat of a very much an activist type of county, but everybody sticks together up there. There's no question about it. And I've been in and around Nevada County for years and know a lot of people up there. But I wasn't really totally aware of what was going on with your group until we met the other night at the Tea Party. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, because we're kind of dealing with the same folks because, Peggy Hall is with the group, the constitutional group you're talking about, and we're going to have a relationship with that group, and we already have one with Peggy Hall. She's a member of New California, and she's just been fantastic help for everybody in New California, especially spreading the wealth and trying to get this whole thing straightened out with all the masks, because she's done a brilliant job in Orange County and has set the standard, I think, for getting rid of these masks. Now, I know the president came out yesterday, and he says that masks are okay, you got to wear them and all this other good stuff. I'm not wearing a mask. First of all, it makes me sick because I do have a breathing issue, and that is something that's been with me for quite some time, so I just don't wear a mask. But they're getting a little bit hardcore, it seems like. The governor is getting more aggressive in the way that he's handling these masking things, and I know that he brought in the ATF or the ATF. the ABC in California, that's the Alcohol Bureau of Alcohol Beverage Control. And they are shutting down restaurants that they think are not following the rules. And you've had an incident in which one of the restaurants was shut down there over the weekend, or it was Monday?
Well, to be exact, ABC hasn't come to shut down yet, and we are anticipating that. But we believe that is next step.
The next step, right?
We had an official meeting that I was privileged to actually be present on with three of the restaurant owners, and it included two of our local county health department, one city code compliance officer, and two ABC agents. And this was a week ago. And at that point in time, they were there to hand the new paperwork for the new latest and greatest insane guidelines that are impossible for any business to follow and still remain profitable. And they said at that time when we pressed on them, so if we do not comply with every order, what is the next step? What will happen? And in turn, each department of those three departments said, oh no, we don't know what will happen. We're going to have to check with our superiors on that. We're just here to educate today, not enforce, and we don't know what the enforcement will be. They actually refused to answer the question and were very vague and said, we don't know.
Right, because so they don't have one. They don't have a legal one, but go ahead.
Correct. They don't have any, and I would say that if there's something that's code, there should already be written in the code what the consequence will be for not following the code, don't you think? I mean,
yeah, there's no code, there's no laws, and they're they're bullying is what they're doing.
Correct. And they when they made the appointment with the owners, they implied that it was only going to be just the health director, the environmental health director that came, and then they showed up five strong with ABC unannounced, which was really intimidation in my book.
Right.
Fortunately, we had a hunch, and there were five of us as well, and then Rick Martin was on call to be there present also representing not only those two businesses that were, it was three owners of two businesses, but also five others that had already joined on and said, yes, please help us and be our assistants of counsel. So he was representing five of the restaurants at that moment in time a week ago, and we have a handful more that have also, you know, appeared since then saying, can you help us too? And more businesses, I've heard there's a huge number of businesses in Placer County and El Dorado County that met with him on a Zoom call last night as well. So people are hearing what we're doing. They're saying, oh, can we do that? Yes. Yes, you can. I encourage every single person in California to start standing up and saying, no, we cannot comply yeah. with this anymore. It's unconstitutional. It's unlawful. It always has been from day one. And the only way to win this is for every person in California and in America to stand up and say, no, not doing it anymore. Not going to follow your tyrannical, oppressive orders. They're unlawful. Unconstitutional. They are wrong.
Yep. And, you know, I'm glad to hear you saying all that. That's, we've been kind of like the lonely ones out there in New California, been saying this for years now. But, you know, now it's really out where he's got a lockdown going on, an illegal lockdown going on, and for businesses and everything else. And he's ramping it up by putting out more orders. And, of course, the real bottom line to all this, we understand what he's doing, why he's doing it, because he's absolutely desperate. You know, when they change the law, you know, the clue, the tell is when they changed the Executive Powers Act for California back in 2015, what they did is they erased the restriction that the governor had for 30 days in which, now, I've been saying 60 days, but I've since learned that it was 30 days that the Executive Powers Act would apply for the governor, which he, you know, without the actions of the Assembly or the Senate or the legislature, he could do and say everything he needed to do within 30 days to get something done. That's understandable when you have an emergency or something like that. But in 2015, it was the state legislature that changed that to indefinite. So what it meant was that indefinitely, the governor can exert power and control as he's been doing, wielding it without the legislature being concerned. And of course, that's the tell, is it, if you want to talk about conspiracy theories or so on, just very conveniently that law was changed in 2015, and now all of a sudden we have Gavin Newsom coming along being the total dictator that he is, unbridled with his powers. But then when you start really looking into what goes on with his powers, he cannot make law. And this is the key thing. I know you heard Jim Gallagher the other night talking about this, and this is exactly right. The governor cannot make law, and we've already got pre-existing law. He can't change that law, but he's acting as if he can change the law and make his own law. And, of course, it's all unlawful. And that's, I'm sure, what Mr. Martin is, everybody's telling you guys. It's the same things we've been telling people. He cannot be doing this, and so, therefore, we should not comply, and we should not follow along with any one of his edicts, including the mass. It's real simple. There's no there.
We agree 100%. My entire team agrees 100%. We have been pushing back on the masking as well. We've had teams of people handing out flyers around town and discussing with people the absolute unhealthy and unlawful mask guidance, which are absolutely not laws and should not be, because, again, we are sovereign in our persons and in our bodies. So, no, that we're hand-in-hand with that, too, and fighting that as well and pushing back on that as well. Interestingly enough, here, though, our county politically is divided very half and half here and has been for decades.
Right, right.
And as far as part of, you know, Newsom's strategy, here, he really has done his best to stick, you know, to have people attacking each other. I mean, it's been very vicious. We've been You know, I've watched people screaming at each other in restaurants. I've watched restaurant owners being harassed by the people walking by if their employees aren't perfectly wearing masks as they're trying to go about their business and just, you know, serve food or, you know, help people with at a clothing store or whatever it is. It's been horrid. It's been awful. The amount of harassment going back and forth. There was a Facebook page started here in Nevada County that became 500 strong overnight that came up with a list of businesses to boycott because they weren't following masking guidelines perfectly. This was like a month ago.
Wow.
I mean, truly, one of the business leaders of this county wrote a giant op-ed in the local paper, you know, all pro-masking and encouraging everyone to boycott businesses that weren't during this. I mean, people themselves in our own county are actually calling for and trying to destroy the businesses in their own town. It's just shocking to me. Do they really not realize what they're doing to our local economy, and that if these small businesses close and the town dies, it's not coming back anytime soon if we don't fight for it now. The small businesses here are the lifeblood of this town. Tourism is the lifeblood of our county. And tourism's been closed down this entire time. I mean, we're already on the brink and on our last legs. We already have had many businesses closed because they couldn't hang in there paying their rent and their utilities for months on end without being able to be open. Partially open doesn't cut it. So it has to be fully open with people coming out and spending their money within the local economy as they have always done. And so between instilling the fear in people of the virus so people are not, now people are shopping online instead of in town. So that's a challenge that, you know, we're trying to work on breaking the fear of viruses because people do not have to fear viruses. There have always been viruses. There will always be viruses. It's really about building your own immunity and your own health and taking care of yourself and learning, you know, diet, exercise, getting out in the sunshine, taking your supplements, eating organic food and clean, healthy water. I mean, these are the things that build an immunity. People do not have to be afraid of any virus. And so we're trying to get that message out.
It's kind of silly that people are so afraid of them. Like I tell people, my background is I'm a biologist and, I'm a virologist and geneticist. I understand these things thoroughly. Used to teach it for years. I tell people, if you want to know how involved you are on a daily basis with viruses, just imagine that every time you walk around, you're walking through a sea of viruses. You just can't see them. There's millions of viruses that we come in contact with every single day. And our immune system protects us from those viruses doing any harm to us. And occasionally we pick up a bad one. But, you know, in the case of the COVID virus, it's very far and few between in terms of being able to pick it up. And the hysteria is just over the top. I agree with you. But again, this has been perpetrated by those who believe, you know, the Agenda 21 folks and all the other stuff, the mainstream media. They've got a pretty good program going on of indoctrination and propaganda. It's so much so that we're seeing these intimidations by people, the shaming and all this other good stuff. And I was talking the other night, it's the Star of David in the equivalency of the 1930s, that if you're not wearing a mask, you might as well be a Jew in the 1930s to have that shame. And of course, being shamed is terrible. But a business, people that are usually socialist, and you've got your share of socialists up in Nevada County. I would agree with you. It's 50-50 split for a lot of things. But the socialists, no matter where they are, who are demanding that businesses comply to destroy their own business, that's just not going to happen and should not be happening, especially based upon the fact they do not understand about viruses and virology. They're ignorant, but they're just accepting what the media is telling them, and people like Biden.
Yeah,
the lies.
Yeah, the propaganda is fierce, and it's a lot to overcome. But And so when we get frustrated and when we get down and when we personally on our team are talking about it, eventually we go to prayer, because God is bigger than all of this and is able to overcome the propaganda and the fear, and it will happen. It has to happen. I'm surprised it hasn't already happened here. In Nevada County, we've only had one death, and it was in April, and it was on the other side of the mountain range in Truckee, because our county is strange, and it crosses over the Sierra Nevada Mountains and incorporates a north part of the Tahoe region. And not to throw them under the bus, but still, even them, only one death in all of this time. There is zero justification. However, I would still stand on the fact that no matter how many deaths, there is still zero justification. This would not be the way to handle an actual killer pandemic if we were having one, which I don't believe we are. But even if we were, our constitutional freedoms, our rights stated in the Constitution were not given to us by government to start with anyways. They are our unalienable rights given to us by God, and they're no one's to take away. And we as communities should have been given total freedom to figure out how to handle a sickness going through our towns and our cities as we saw fit and saw best, given the best available data and information at the time, but not by suspending any freedoms, not by government telling us what to do about it. Absolutely not. We as communities should have figured out how to handle each one, and each human being, each person is a sovereign being that needed to decide what was best for themselves, their family, and their neighborhoods and their communities in handling this.
Well, you know, the bigger part of this is that, you know, when government gets it wrong, they really get it wrong, but you have the agenda that everybody in government is pushing, and that's why they're pushing this whole thing with the mask and everything about a pandemic, which there is no pandemic, really, in my opinion. My professional opinion, and I can say that my professional opinion, and I know that there's a lot of doctors and other people that go right along with, there's no pandemic. And in fact, the type of a virus that you're talking about here is basically a variant of cold virus. And I made the comment when they first started putting up the map showing where everybody's getting all the diseases around the world. I said, you're just tracking a common cold. I mean, you can do that if you want, but you're tracking the incidences of a common cold, which doesn't lead to a lot of deaths. And of course, the death rate has now been, you know, jury-rigged all over the place, because they've been taking other people with other types of conditions that, you know, they die of a heart attack, and they say, oh, they died of COVID virus. That's what comes out. And we've had incidences on our show in New California where, you know, people have been going back to the coroner and say, hey, they didn't die of COVID virus. And they say, well, you know, it's a money thing, that type of thing. I mean, it's just amazing what's been going on. But the science behind all this is false pseudoscience. Yeah, behind all this, and all they have is the hysteria. And now here in California, your bigger problem, of course, is a desperate governor who needs cash. And this is really in plays in part with if you're talking about the socialist in California, is that they ultimately turn to extortion of these businesses. And that's where we get a lot of complaints from people, is it, and before the COVID even, that their businesses, they're being extorted by the government of California through lawsuits and the like. And this is just another variant of that. They're going to intimidate the businesses until something happens in terms of money or fines or things like that. They think they're going to make enough money up to cover this shortfall, and I think you probably understand how deep that shortfall is. It's not going to happen. But that's their behavior, and they want to keep you distracted, I think, with the COVID and away from the fact that they don't have any money to make it past the next couple of months.
Yeah, I agree 100%, and that's true. So much is coming at each one of us in the news and the announcements, and the governor has something new to announce every day that is another thing that's so big that it's overwhelming, and there's 10 of them in a week and a half, you know, because schools is another whole issue that we are pushing back on here very strongly as well. because the school guidelines that came out first from the state superintendent and then the public health, the California State Public Health Department, are horrifying. I mean, the guidelines that they are trying to mandate in our schools, if schools reopen at all, are much, much worse than California prison system is treating prisoners at this moment in time. Horrifying. So there's that to push back on as well. It's so many things at once. It's obviously an agenda and not a response to any version of a killer virus that doesn't really exist in a killer fashion. So, yeah, it was obvious to us here immediately that this was an agenda, and that we had to push back, and we are. And we're doing everything we can to push back. I don't know where this is going to go next. The health department's letter that they sent out, that they handed to our business owners yesterday, they showed up, they handed a letter saying you are closed due to the fact that there is an imminent health hazard. And so, therefore, you are supposed to follow these orders to shut down to no indoor dining. And since you haven't done that, you are closed immediately, and you may get a hearing in 15 days. And she taped the closed notice on the front doors of these businesses that they do not remove except the Environment Health Department. Very ominous. And very threatening and right. Very harassing, and we consider this a domestic terrorist attack.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
On our persons and our property.
You do know that maybe you don't know the story about what happened in Yuba and Sutter counties with the restaurants and businesses that went to hearing. They actually had hearings here.
I do not.
Okay. Yes.
I do not know how that.
See,
went.
This is why you have the sharing needs to go on. But what happened in that case, there were hearings for several of the restaurants that wanted to open up and everything. And so they had two attorneys. They had the sheriff from each county that were present in the hearings. And then, of course, they had the hearing officers. They had two people, one from ABC and I think the health department and the other. And in the first three hearings, as I understand it, and I can get you in touch with the person who was actually there so they can give you a little bit better, more detail. But in the first three hearings of 12 to be held, the attorneys were going, what law are you citing here? Because they're at this moment where they've put the thing up on the door, you may be having a hearing, blah, blah, blah. So they said, okay, bring on the hearing. And James Gallagher was there, the assemblyman. He was there in the meetings. And so they said, what is the law that you're trying to cite here? And so in the first two cases, they couldn't do it. So when pressed in the third case, no, we're not going any further with any of these hearings, the attorneys were saying, until you guys can tell us what law you guys are citing here so that these restaurants have to close, imminent danger, blah, 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 blah. And they had the posting on the windows and all that stuff, just like in this case. So finally, they pulled out a law. And the law was written in 1858. Now, one of the businesses was from the gold rush era and has been open consistently since 1852, right?
Wow.
So listen to this. So the law, it dealt with, they're closing them down based upon the fact that they're a brothel. A brothel. And you're laughing because it's laughable. A brothel. So the attorney said, brothel? And, of course, the restaurant that opened up in 1852 no longer is dealing as a brothel. That's long ago. Maybe it was bad. I'm not passing judgment on, 1858 business because, there were a lot of brothels in Nevada City and Grad. There was a lot of brothels, let's face it. The miners had brothels everywhere. unruliness, drunkenness. I mean, it got into that kind of stuff. Violence, gun shooting. I mean, it was just crazy. So that they said, oh, I think we're packing it in on that one. So they took off. They were stood down, and they never had any more hearings, and the businesses opened up. But now they're back at it again, of course. They're trying different angles to shut everybody down, including... including, I think they're going to make another attempt at having hearings or whatever. Maybe they found out that brothels didn't work. It's got to be something, some other tactic. Horse racing inside your own building, I guess. I don't know. Just something crazy. But there is no law, and I think that's what your attorneys are telling you, too. There is no law that allows them to be doing what they're doing. There's nothing. There's no there. Yet everybody's in fear, and we encourage businesses to stay open in defiance. When the government is telling you to do something unlawful, don't do it. It's really simple.
We have to fight back. We have to say no. I mean, we should have on day one, but everybody, you know, many of us, even who mostly remember our history and were taught fairly well, still have, you know, we've been asleep and complacent and not paying a lot of attention and not knowing our Constitution, not knowing our history, not knowing what our rights are. A lot of people have known that socialism has been creeping in for decades, but you know, mostly thinking it's still going to be okay. And obviously now we're at a point where, it's not okay. I believe that the latest letter, closure letter handed out to the owners here in Nevada County yesterday, that there is a California health code written, but it's still based. I don't have a piece of paper in front of me because I wasn't one of the business owners and I took pictures, but I don't have a paper copy in front of me. But it's still based on that now unlawful state of emergency orders. Every single part of this is based on that declaration of a state of emergency, which we know is unlawful at this point. It absolutely is unlawful at this point for him to continue on because there is no basis for that. But even parts where all of that law really should be pushed back and overturned and repealed because, again, never should our constitutional freedoms be suspended by our government
right.
for an emergency, ever.
From the get-go, it's, you know, and they've been saying this, and again, I encourage people, I know we've had a great deal of luck, I wouldn't say luck, but we've been filling out the DOJ form. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's the one that Bill Barr put out immediately. If your civil rights or if your constitutional rights are being violated, fill out this form and they'll take action. And we got responses early on to some of our forms that were submitted by many of the new Californians in various counties. They were very reactive to it, which was a good thing. And I see that really what would happen if these forms are completely, every time there's a contact, fill out the form and send it in, you're going to get some sort of reaction from the Justice Department, a letter or something like that, or at least something that's documentable. See, in New California, what we're trying to do is overthrow, basically, the government, and it's the constitutional process to do so, and we're making incredible strides to do that. And they're not happy at all about what we're doing because they figured out, you know, we are the answer to the nightmare that they perpetrated on everybody because we're changing government, making a new government that basically is not in violation of the Constitution. See, they already are standing in violation, and we've written, I think, 108 grievances at this point in time, but they're already standing in violation of Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. You heard me talk about that the other night. And
yeah.
It's so egregious, it's just over the top. I mean, when you find a state that's violating everybody's constitutional rights like that, then the president has the option to come in and change it, and he should. And we've been encouraging the use of the Insurrection Act and the International Economic Powers Act to do so. And, you know, we've made great strides, like I said, towards becoming a state, and we know that now... with the government the way it is in California, is that Gavin Newsom is the dictator, and he's really tight with the judiciary. So you don't have the three powers or the three divisions of government any longer that are co-equal. You don't have an individual executive branch or judiciary or legislative branch, but what you have is a combined judiciary and executive that's become a dictatorship, and your legislative branch is completely left out doing nothing. literally nothing. And this is the sign of a complete breakdown in the federal system and federal model that the Constitution calls for. So they're just ripe, basically, for the president to take over at this point in time, and we are encouraging him very much to do that so that we can get in this lawlessness that you're documenting, as other people are documenting, is just proving our point to the T that there needs to be a regime change. And when that regime change comes, California will change what's left of it, and New California will be the change agent to make it happen. So this is we're right in the middle of it. I think we're getting towards the end of it in a lot of ways because of the finances. But we have to continue to push back like you're doing. It sounds like you guys are doing a fantastic job. One of the things that, as I've been thinking and talking, because our people now are getting the same pushback with the idea that they're closing down any communication with the public by way of your county supervisors and even your city councils, they're just closing. And they're going to, you know, Zoom meetings and things like that with a lot of restrictions. You can't speak, you can't do this, you can't do that. Yesterday, our grievance reading, it was brought out up in Shasta County, that Shasta County had been going and reading the grievances in front of the county supervisors, much to their chagrin. I'm sure they didn't want to read about the doink situation with the governor and the grievance. But they show up at the county supervisors, and it's a locked door. You can't, you know, the door's locked. You can't get in. And then everybody's on the inside looking because they're looking out at them, our people, and they're all chuckling and laughing at them because they can't get into the county supervisor's meeting. And they said, we're doing this all virtually now. You can't come in and you can't read your grievance. You can't partake in government. That's the kind of stunt that we're seeing. And this is happening statewide, as you know. This is all going on statewide now.
I've been present at our county supervisors' meetings at the building itself every meeting since, I believe, May 12th with teams of people. And at the one last week, we actually did turn into the sheriff's department, I think it's called a notice of violation warning. Basically, we asked the sheriff's department to investigate violations of the Brown Act, because here in this county it's online only. You can give an e-comment of 500 characters, which you can't say much in 500 characters ahead of time, that they may or may not read during their agenda items. They do not read everyone. Or you can call and leave a voicemail with your voice opinion, but there's no avenue to call in during the meeting, during the agenda items, which for the Brown Act, there's supposed to be public comment for every single agenda item after it's discussed, or maybe it's before. I'm not sure on that one. But during the meeting itself, and they have given no avenue for that, and when we pushed back on that a week and a half ago, or maybe just a week ago, time flies, the person that addressed that with us said, sorry, we don't have the technology for that. And the answer is that's not good enough. That's not good enough. No, then you can't hold the meeting, which I know Ammon Bundy called that out in Nevada.
Right.
We did that here. We turned in these citizen violation requests, and the sheriff did enough investigating and agreed and actually handed it on to the DA. And we actually have a case number in Nevada County for our supervisors violating the Brown Act. So that is in process here.
The Brown Act last night in our meeting came up, and I'm very familiar with the Brown Act. And one, you cannot ignore the Brown Act. And one of the things that was quickly made very, very abundantly clear to me last night when I was listening to everybody is that they're violating the Brown Act up and down the state. I mean, it's just happening anywhere. And we had one of our people's an attorney, and he was very emphatic in putting it on the chat line that you cannot avoid the Brown Act. And of course, that's what they're doing. So there is a crime being committed right there. And you guys have done the right thing by calling it out and going to the sheriff. And it sounds like your sheriff is cooperating with you in Nevada County.
We are not sure, actually, about our sheriff yet. We've been working this week on that point. Yes, On that one moment, yes. But we have had many people write emails and phone calls asking our sheriff for meetings so that we can discuss, you know, will she uphold the Constitution and her oath to both the federal and the state constitutions and begin to protect and defend the people of this county against these domestic terrorism attacks that are happening in every direction. And so far, she, as far as my ear is on the ground, throughout my people that sent stuff out, my team, she has not responded to us yet. So it feels like she's avoiding at the moment and trying to stay under the radar and not standing up for us. And I'm working on getting every resident and business owner in Nevada County to write her letters and call her and demand a response and ask for her protection and her defense. Because again, I'm learning, man, I'm learning. I'm on fast track speed learning about constitutional rights, all the things I didn't know. And the sheriffs have ultimate authority here. And we want to call on her to protect our businesses against state agents when they come. And I mean literally show up when we call 911 when they appear and stand at the doors and say, no, you cannot close this business down. You have no authority here.
Well, you do have, there are reports of sheriffs doing exactly that. You know, and again, we're in contact with most of the sheriffs in the state of California in some way, shape, or form. And the vast majority of them are real constitutional sheriffs. And, you know, I'm not going to pass judgment on your sheriff up there. You know, we have an assessment and an opinion, probably not too different from yours, about your particular sheriff. But, you know, when there are clear violations of law, they need to be responsive. And if they're not, then, of course, then you got a problem. But most of the sheriffs that I have found, once you point out the law or once you give them, you know, they see what's going on, then they do react, and they do actually respond in the appropriate way if they're called out. They need to be consistently called out and leaned upon in some cases, but they will do it. You know, we've worked from the standpoint that we're going to support our sheriffs and give them the support that they need, you know, that sort of thing, and it's worked out very, very well, you know, for us at this point in time. But, you know, now the battle is on. And a lot of these sheriffs don't know, as you know, because you've been studying the Constitution, they don't understand their constitutional responsibilities or how they should be enforcing them. That's a problem.
And we, yes, and again, we are hopeful, we are praying, and we are hopeful that she will give us an audience, will consider the information. Constitutionallawgroup.us has a document on there called the Sheriff's Handbook that explains this in, I don't know, 84 pages of detail, which is something that we are hoping, well, I emailed it to her, but I'm hoping that we can hand deliver a printed copy to her for her to study and distribute among all her deputies so that they all can start to understand their part and their role in all of this and enforcing the actual constitutional lawful laws. But here's the difference. She and her department haven't done anything to enforce, and they did make a public Facebook announcement a month or so ago saying they would be educating, not enforcing. But what we're calling for now and what we're asking for is not only don't enforce, but will you now actually stand up and protect and defend us against the people attacking? And there is a difference.
Listen, Kimberly, sorry to cut you off, but yes. I'm looking at the clock and we got to go. It's been an hour already, and
okay.
I want to thank you for being with us. We've been talking to Kimberly Carlson Farwell of Nevada County, and tell us how we can get in touch with you.
We're on Facebook. Our page is Free Nevada County, and we also have a students page called Protect Nevada County Students. That's the best way to get in touch with us, find out what we're doing. We're trying to put up resources for people in
Perfect.
Every county.
Thank you very much, Kimberly, and we'll be in touch. Stay strong, America. We are exceptional.
To the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.